Hi, this is Jennifer Nanez from Albuquerque, and you are listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Enjoy!
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast. And you know what? You could tell that because we have our snarky Canadian back, Jacob Doherty. Jacob, what gives? What happened last week?
There was a, I probably should have gone down about this in the pre-show, but there was some family situations, unfortunately. Oh. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, hope it wasn't too serious. I'm glad you're back with us. We need the snark. We need the snark. But you know what? In your absence, we had a great time with Dr. Lou Lafredo, who joins us again on the second line, publisher of ProHockeyNews.com. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. My kingdom for a couple of writers and editors. Saturday is my absolute worst day. So, anyway, that's as you might imagine, I'm cranky.
Well, as Lou alluded to, we were unable to record on Friday as we normally do due to technical issues. But we are recording on Saturday. So as soon as you see the podcast drop, we were recording it Saturday morning. You know, unusual time for us. But this episode of the and we said my custom sports chair. This episode of the Pro Hockey News Podcast is brought to you by the our friends at My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com, enter in code PHN15 to get 15% off your purchase. Fellas, I mean, the only rant I really have this week is how I'm really upset with the internet connection in our household. We are looking at different ways to either save money or get more reliable internet. Since we're not sponsored by these people, I'm not going to mention any names, but it is one of the more widely available businesses here that we are getting our internet through. We may be foregoing that in the future. I will keep you updated. Since I don't have much of a rant, Lou, let's bring us up to date. I hear some bangers and mash here.
Yeah, so not anything has changed at the top of the EIHL standings. Sheffield Steelers still hold down the number one spot through 29 games. They've picked up 51 points. They are 26-4. They did lose one game since the last time we met. They lost to the Fife Flyers, but came right back and got themselves started back up again. And excuse me, it's 25-4 so far. And so, you know, to talk about the second place Belfast Giants, they have gone through 30 games and are closing in on the lead. And they're sitting at 38 points, which is just, it's just a staggering lead that Sheffield has built for themselves. So Belfast comes in at the second spot. Cardiff Devils are coming in at third with 37 points through 28 games. They have one game in hand on the leaders. Guildford Flames have snuck into the fourth spot with 37 points as well, dropping out of the top four since the last time we met, with the Coventry Blaze who are coming in at 36 points. And the Dundee Stars are holding on to a spot above the cutoff for the playoffs. They're coming in at 33 points, and you know, 3 points up on they have 3 points clear for that spot. So once again, Sheffield Steelers are just motoring their way through the EIHL fixtures this year. So, Richard, that's the bangers and mash report for this week.
Yeah, the season the Steelers are having is quite amazing. I remember a couple second line episodes ago we met. They had a 6 point lead on second place. Last time we met, they had a 12 point lead, and it just seems to keep growing and growing.
Yeah,
there's no stopping the Steelers this year.
They have picked up 124 goals and have yielded 51.
Ooh.
And that 50, so both of those numbers are the high low. Well, they are the best in the league so far. It's 124 to 51. I mean, the defense has been absolutely spectacular. The losses have not been, you know, one-sided. I think Fife may have beaten them 3 or 4 to 1. It was a surprise. I think the Steelers were looking past them, but 124 goals. And the next closest are the Devils at 103 for the same, you know, for basically the same number of games. So, yeah, it's a runaway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll keep an eye on Sheffield, see if they cool off. Because, I mean, we have the PHN podcast curse here. We talk about a team, they tend to cool off. Although we've been talking about Sheffield for 3 straight episodes, and they're not cooling off.
Not even close.
All right. Well, let's bring it back here to the North American continent, take a look at the ECHL standings. And we have some news coming out of the ECHL here. We'll get to after we get through the standings. First, we'll start with the Eastern Conference in the North Division. The Adirondack Thunder remain in the top spot. The Norfolk Admirals are in the number 2 spot with 42 points. Sorry, Adirondack has 59 points. Norfolk has 42. The Worcester Railers in the number 3 spot with 41 points. And the Newfoundland Growlers, who 2 weeks ago were in the 2nd spot in this division, have dropped to the 4th spot, also with 41 points. Going 3-5-2 in their last 10 did not help there. In the South Division, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits remain on top with 59 points. The Jacksonville Icemen remain in the 2nd spot with 47 points. The Orlando Solar Bears claw their way into the 3rd spot with 46 points, and the Florida Everblades back in the top 4 with 46 points. Going to the Western Division in the Western Conference in the Central Division, we have the Toledo Walleye with 54 points, the Fort Wayne Comets in the number 2 spot with 46 points, the Indy Fuel coming into the number 3 spot with 44 points, and the Wheeling Nailers in the number 4 spot, dropping 1 spot to Indy with 42 points. Looking at the Mountain Division, we have the Kansas City Mavericks still on top of that division with 58 points. Kind of cooling off a little bit and dropping a little bit in the standings, the Idaho Steelheads still in 2nd place, but giving up a few more points to Kansas City. They have 54 points. The Tulsa Oilers in the number 3 spot with 39 points. And the Allen Americans dropped to the number 4 spot with 37 points. As I had alluded to, we have news coming out of the ECHL. We have a new team announced. The Bloomington Bison are going to be starting competition in the 24-25 season. Lou, I don't know. For some reason, I'm getting mixed messages here because I feel like the ECHL isn't really prime for expansion, but somehow they're bringing in yet another team into the league. I want to get your thoughts on this. Is this a necessary expansion for the league?
Well, I guess if you're planning on having one for one representation from AA to AAA to NHL, they're still too short then. This is their 30th club that they'll be adding. Lake Tahoe was added as the 29th team it was just before the season started, back in the summer. So Lake Tahoe came in, and Richard, let's not forget that, the rumor was rampant down here, in New Mexico, that Rio Rancho, a small suburb of Albuquerque, was about to get a replacement finally, for a series of failed franchises here, in the metro area. And that was back in 2022, and I think is when that rumor had started. And Adam, over on the first line, had even talked about it. He and I had exchanged some messages about it, and he said news was going to be coming, and it's 2 years later. We're still waiting in two other cities. Lake Tahoe and Bloomington now have their teams. I'll be honest. I think it is too soon. This is two teams that are going to be coming into the league in October. And that's a quick ramp up, isn't it?
It feels like it. It feels like there's a really fast expansion happening in the ECHL. And I don't know, like, I want to see the league do well. I want to see them be able to produce quality players. And if you're expanding like this, it hurts the point of all these minor leagues.
You have issues across the board. And Jacob can allude to this a bit as well. But look, even the juniors are struggling to find quality players and colleges. And so, you know, where's the next round of talent coming from? So, Bloomington, you know, I'm trying to remember. I seem to recall Bloomington having a team in the past. Where you are repopulating failed cities. That's my hot take on it.
One thing I actually wonder with in respect to ECHL expansion is I know a lot of teams have their main source of revenue is from selling tickets.
Yes.
I can't imagine in these slimly populated areas that they have many people who are A, hockey fans, and B, going to pay for an ECHL game.
Yes, I don't disagree with any of that. It's the question of, here's the thing. I'll pick Dallas. The Dallas Stars in Dallas, obviously, their AAA affiliate is up in Cedar Park. The Texas Stars, their ECHL affiliate are the Allen Americans, in Allen. I just didn't think up far enough ahead on that one. What I don't see is a lot of cross branding, cross promotion.
Right.
And at best, you have, for instance, you know, a presser comes out of, let's say, the Allen Americans, and, you know, they are a proud affiliate of the Texas Stars and Dallas Stars. That's typically the extent of it. And maybe they throw a patch on their jersey, and that changes on a pretty regular basis anyway. You know, unless there's some cross promotion, the Stars of tomorrow, you know, are in Allen. The Stars of today are in Cedar Park and Dallas. So I can't recall. Bloomington is going to be the affiliate for whom?
You know, I didn't see an affiliate announced, so I don't know if that's been determined yet.
Because who's in the area? Iowa Wild already have the Heartlanders in the ECHL. Indy Fuel have already been claimed. And you have I'm trying to remember, but you know, they need to be assigned.
So there are three NHL teams without ECHL affiliates right now, apparently. This is just from a quick Google search. It is the St. Louis Blues, Winnipeg Jets, and Columbus Blue Jackets.
And the Blues have the Springfield Thunderbirds in Springfield, Connecticut, as their AHL affiliate. Who were the other two?
Winnipeg Jets and Columbus Blue Jackets.
So Winnipeg has the Moose, and the Blue Jackets have Cleveland Monsters as their AA affiliate. I guess if there was one, that's two states over, but Columbus maybe.
And with it's also not uncommon for AHL affiliates in Canada to be very far down the states. Like, for example, Edmonton was all the, their AHL affiliate is in Bakersfield.
Right.
And I have no idea where their who their ECHL affiliate is actually.
It was just in my head. I can't recall.
Regardless, I think that I wouldn't surprise me if it was St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me they need to be. Oh, that's true. St. Louis is probably the better option. In any event, Richard, I think you're right. The expansion here, it certainly doesn't seem willy-nilly. The ECHL has survived, but they, you know, it could be they need the expansion income.
Sorry, just to correct myself, Arizona and Carolina also don't.
The most important question, Lou, I have to come to you, and Jacob, I'd like to get your call on this as well.
The logo. Your thoughts?
Yes.
Lou, I'll start with you. I know you already
expressed not an opinion as much as a comment regarding it.
Right.
So the story, the presser about it refers to the decommissioned Route 66. As I said to you, Richard, yesterday, I thought that, you know, folks here in New Mexico might take exception to the decommissioned moniker or qualifier to Route 66. Granted, it's no longer a federal highway, but it is the mother road.
Yeah.
The second thing that I had was that the team is named for Bloomington's history with buffalo, bison. We all don't have a really good national link to buffalo, unless you're up in Montana. So I'm real, you know, I hesitated drilling into Bloomington's history, and I'm hoping it's not part of our part of our sad times in the past. That's, you know.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, you got the bison wearing the stovepipe hat as well, as, you know, paying homage to Abraham Lincoln. He even has a very Lincoln-esque beard. but I don't know about the shoulder pads and the hockey gloves and the stick. I know this is hockey, but to me, that was a swing and a miss for the second half. I don't mind the Route 66. I mean, that, yes, that is, you know, the Chicago area, you know, very, I mean, Route 66 went from Chicago to L.A. as
right.
The very first major highway in the United States, or the biggest at the time, before interstates hit the,
right.
You know, hit the ground. So I don't mind the top part. I think it's the gloves and the jersey. Just for me, just didn't do it for me.
I have said long and often, it's the anthropomorphic nature that we apply to our logos these days.
Jacob, you had a chance to take a look at it. You have thoughts?
Yes. It's unique. I don't actually know about the history behind Bloomington itself, but yeah, it looks neat.
Okay.
It's unique. Well,
there's our resident artist.
Right.
I know that's why you picked on him.
maybe you might be able to come up with something a little bit better for their second season. No, this is the inaugural season. Maybe they need something better for the second season.
Something a lot more derpy, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, as we mentioned, Bloomington starts competition in the 24-25 season. We'll see, you know, what they're able to put on the ice. We will be reporting on that as things start heating up there in Bloomington. Let's take a look at the AHL. I'll give you a quick rundown of the standings there. In the Atlantic Division, we have the Hershey Bears still on top with 66 points. The Providence Bruins in the second spot with 53 points. The Wilkes-Barre, I've been calling them the Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Is it Wilkes-Barre or is it Wilkes-Barre?
Wilkes-Barre. Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Yep.
Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Okay, so I've been close-ish.
Yes.
I've never been to the region, so I apologize if I've been butchering it for, the last 7 years. the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the number three spot with 51 points, and the Hartford Wolfpack in the number four spot with 47 points.
I figured you guys would correct me at some point if I was just dead wrong.
So I just kept going with it.
We'll talk after the show.
Oh, oh no.
Uh-oh. You guys might have a new producer by the end of the day. All right. Taking a look at the North Division, the Cleveland Monsters are on top with 52 points. Hot behind them is the Syracuse Crunch with 50 points. The Lovell Rockets in the number three spot with 42 points. And the Rochester Americans, not to be confused with the Allen Americans, in the number four spot with 42 points. In the Central Division, we have the Milwaukee Admirals on top with 53 points, the Texas Stars in the number two spot with 45 points, the Grand Rapids Griffins in the number three spot with 41 points, and the Rockford IceHogs still in that top four with 36 points. Moving on to the Pacific Division, the Coachella Valley Firebirds remain on top with, they don't remain on top. They move into the top spot. They were number four last time we met with 51 points. The Tucson Roadrunners in the number two spot with 50 points. The Ontario Reign in the number three spot with 48 points. And in the number four spot, the Calgary Wranglers, who were on top of the division just 2 weeks ago, have fallen to the number four spot with 47 points. Lou, I
had mentioned yesterday that I wanted to talk about the Tucson Roadrunners because as of yesterday, before they played any games, they were on top of the division. Now they've fallen to the number two spot. But they've been playing well as of late. Can you give us a quick rundown as how they've been playing in their last 10?
The last 10, they have gone, 8-2. They had been, I think, 9-1 going into last night's game. And just because we had talked about them in our pregame show yesterday. They lost yesterday.
It's the curse.
4-1. How do we manage this? Actually, what I in going through the scoring sheets and the roster, it's a very balanced offense. No one is really even approaching. There is one approaching a point a game, and it's Dylan Gauthier. At 28 points on 10 goals. The goal leader so far is Josh Doan, who's picked up 15 goals so far this season in 39 games. No, games played, 39. Yeah.
So it's 15 the website, goals. The AHL website. Yeah.
Yes. because they have games played and games remaining, and it's just those of us with not the best eyesight just really come up short. So Doan has picked up 25 points so far this season on 15 goals. On defense, just give me a second because the site just does not translate well. Over on defense, Victor Soderstrom through 38 games played so far this season. He's got 21 points, 13 assists. Coming in next is Max Schober, and he's got 17 points on 4 goals and 13 assists. And it doesn't fall off Well, they are the top two. Then it sort of drops off to single digits for the season so far for total points. But it's spread out, and much the same as it is with the forwards. Again, if you look at the forwards, you know, those top two at 28 and 25 points, and then it drops to 23, and everyone has been kicking in some kind of production so far with the Roadrunners. What's interesting are is that the goalie position, Josh, Matthew Vallala, so far this season, his goals against average, pretty decent, of 2.56. His save percentage is 0.913, and he has gone so far with a winning record of 19-10-1, and his goals against are just 76 so far. And the Roadrunners have played an awful lot in they have rarely ventured so far this season, ventured out of the Pacific Division. There were so many teams in the Pacific, you could spend an entire season there. But when they have, they've done very well outside the Pacific Division. And I was surprised to have seen them at 9-1, despite, you know, cover, you know, I see the Tucson hashtag so much on our website, but yeah, I hadn't translated into that 10-game streak. And so last night, it was just a 4-1 loss, sort of a derailment that knocked them out of the first out of the top spot. They lost to Coachella Firebirds last night. And so Coachella, you know, just reclaimed first place from them. It's a balanced, what's surprising is that it's a very balanced team. There's nothing, no one stands out. It's not a negative. It's just you get production from across the bench. And it's been also fairly stable. There have not been very many call-ups to Tempe with the Coyotes.
Yeah. Not much playing in the mullet for the Roadrunners.
No,
all
no.
Right, they get to play in front of a bigger crowd of probably 3,000 people. All right. Well,
except it is a dump. It's just not AHL quality.
Let's take a look at the NHL. We have some news coming out this week. We've had five players who have been granted leaves of absence from their teams, and this is in connection to a 2018 sexual assault allegation from the Team Canada World Juniors, the World Championship team. Things are a little messy with this one. Jacobson, this one kind of hits a little bit closer to home with you. Give us a little bit of a recap of what exactly you see going on out there.
So there are five players who have surrendered left their teams, both in Europe and in North America. Those players are in North America, Carter Hart from the Philadelphia Flyers, Dylan Dubé from the Calgary Flames, Michael McLeod and Cal Foote from the New Jersey Devils, and Alex Formanton, who was playing in Europe at the time. They have been requested to come back to Canada and face charges from the London, Ontario police in relation to a sexual assault. So there is going to be a official press conference on Monday, February 5th from the London police with more details. But for now, none of those players will be returning to the ice. Important things of note, if charged, obviously it can carry a prison sentence. And depending on or not, whether or not the person affected was a minor at the time of the assaults, all players will have their passports revoked, meaning that they can no longer play in Europe or anywhere else. There is not much information outside of that. But currently that's where we are at with this story.
Yeah, and what strikes me as odd is this is a situation that happened in 2018. It was kind of left alone. I believe 2020 or 2022, an official investigation was started by the league, by the NHL. And they were promising transparency throughout this. And when they had anything significant, they were going to release it to the public. We really haven't heard anything from the NHL since they announced that they were going to be going forward with this investigation. There was even questions asked at the end of the 2023 Stanley Cup of the league. They said, well, we will have information soon. We still haven't heard anything from the league.
The reason being is because this is now a police investigation. They cannot really comment whatsoever in any official capacity, because that would result in A, tainting a potential jury pool, and B, just causing a lot of problems for the investigators in this situation. And unnecessary harassment if any of these players are innocent in any way. But as of now, they are being prepared to
be arraigned.
So there's nothing official yet. I can imagine that's going to be what the February 5th announcement will be. But currently, all players cannot leave the country. Or are told not to leave the country.
Right. Well, as we will be getting more details from the London police on February 5th, we will keep you updated as to what happens surrounding that. We'll move on to other news in the NHL. Let's go a little bit lighter and something that's still in Jacob's backyard. Something he's very happy about. The Edmonton Oilers. Doing pretty good, aren't they?
They are. They're doing great. I am very happy.
Still 15-game win streak?
Yes. They didn't play last night, but they are going to be playing tonight.
Oh, I'm guessing that is going to make it onto our slate of picks as we get towards
it is
the...
not.
Jacob.
I don't trust myself.
All right. Well, okay. I thought I knew you, but I guess I do not.
But I do have a question. Before you move, you go first. Are you moving off the Oilers, Richard?
No, I was going to Jacob's reaction. How are Oilers fans feeling? You had a horrible start to the season. You're bouncing back. You're climbing the standings. You're in a very good position right now. What's it like in Oilers country? And I mean, is it premature to get really excited about the playoffs?
It's always premature to get excited about the playoffs, but I'm just happy that we're back in the playoffs. Personally, everyone's so, so happy. Nobody thinks we're going to lose again, which is fair. And really, a lot of the players who have been struggling earlier in the season have started to step up. Players like Warren Fogle and Ryan McLeod, who haven't really been finding much success in Edmonton, or they have been finding a reasonable amount of success, have started to step up in a massive way and really produce and be a really solid line for the Oilers. And that's made such a massive difference to give guys like McDavid and Draisaitl more time off the ice to actually rest and get ready for a really good shift and to get just out on the ice and play great. And the addition of players like Sam Gagner has been huge, especially in just playing a more complete game. You can trust a guy like Sam Gagner to play a smart game. And while Connor Brown hasn't been too great this season, yeah, he is coming off an ACL injury. But still, the Oilers are winning. and I have no complaints. And they're playing really well defensively.
Oh, you must have one complaint.
Which is, tell me. Tell me.
The latest addition? Corey Perry?
Yes. He is a latest addition, correct.
And has Corey Perry not been on your D list? But now it's all different when he's an Oiler, is that right?
So I'm also a Habs fan. And he absolved all his crimes in Montreal during the bubble playoffs. So for me, I have no strong opinions, but it'll be interesting to see how whatever happened in Chicago ever comes to light in Edmonton, because I'm really curious what actually happened.
I think it's a little ridiculous to think a month ago the Edmonton Oilers didn't even have 30 points on the season. Now they're almost to 60. 1 month later, that's just hard to think about.
Some days we're the upside down.
I understand that reference, but I've never seen that show.
All right. So Edmonton looking good, moving into the second half of the season. Let's talk about other things that look good, or maybe they don't. This is our bread and butter on this podcast.
We have outdoor Stadium Series jerseys that have been released last week. Lou, one of these impacts you and your fandom.
So I'm going to start with you. I want to get some reaction. What do you think of the 2024 NHL Stadium Series jerseys that were revealed last week?
Not my favorite. Okay. Not my least favorite either. I was actually,
the road. Got it.
Yep. I was sort of meh about it.
So these four, if you could rank them 1 to 4,
yes.
What's the top of your list? What's the bottom?
Who hit it? Who struck out?
I don't know. Do I really, you know what? Defer to, I want to hear Jacob on this one first, because you me about the Rangers.
What, 1 through 4, who do you think got it right? Who do you think just missed the assignment?
I think 1 is Philly, 2 is New York, 3 is New Jersey, and a very distant 4th is New York Islanders.
Interesting. I agree with you on the Islanders there. That one just feels a little lazy to me.
I don't need to be reminded what the team name is.
Exactly.
And it's not even the team name.
It's a nickname.
It's not even a word.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of is. To me, I think the Rangers hit it out of the park. Really? I think that one is my favorite of the four. To me, it would go New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and then, the Islanders. And, come on. Come on, guys. That's not even like the colors they're using this season. It's, I don't know.
Well, the Isles have always been their short moniker.
Right. I have no problem with that. Right. That's fine. Jersey just looks lazy to me.
So given the comparisons, I got to the Rangers actually rise to the top. I would have the Isles third, Devils fourth, just because they're the Devils. The Flyers in second, and the Rangers at the top spot for these four, in terms of their, specialty jerseys, third jersey, whatever that have ever been produced for the Rangers. This one is just sort of in the middle, which really tells you about the other three.
What this is to me, and the designers of these jerseys, what I feel like they understood what they were supposed to do, because I made this mistake years ago trying to compare Winter Classic jerseys to Stadium Series jerseys, because the Winter Classic, you're supposed to be
all about, you know, the vintage and the history of the area and the teams. And you're supposed to look, you know, retro. You're supposed to have that old time feel to it. The Stadium Series is none of that. You're throwing that out the window and you're saying, give me a unique looking jersey that loosely resembles the teams that are going to be on the ice. The Islanders colors in these four, I don't really care for. I typically don't like black on red, but I think New Jersey did it well. You know, especially not having the circle around the N and the J. It's just the N and the J logo, you know, enlarged smack dab in the middle of the jersey. I almost feel like Philadelphia's is almost as lazy as the Islanders because it's mostly what they're wearing already. Slight variation to it. They didn't do much with the logo. They didn't do much with their colors. And they didn't do much with, like, the design of the jersey. So, to me, that one's lazy-esque. I don't know. The Islanders one just feels like they went on to Amazon, Googled Islander Isles jerseys, and that's, you know, the top result. Yeah, it probably got 4.5 stars rating. You know, they got a good bargain on those.
It's just so funny.
But yeah, like the Stadium Series jerseys are supposed to be, you know, a little innovative. You know, thinking outside of the traditional hockey jersey. Now, I feel like, minus the Islanders, they did that with these four.
I can't see where you're coming from.
I guess the I alluded to this earlier, and when I look at the Devils, I have a very difficult time discerning names and numbers on the backs.
Oh yeah, that's going to be bad. During the game, especially.
And they're going to be playing at MetLife. And Jacob, you complained about a baseball stadium being far away. MetLife is, what, 81,000 capacity? Yep. And, you know, the rink is in the middle. For somebody like me, I'm just going to see a red dot flying around the ice. And that's... I'm not the only one, you know, that's lazy or just disinterest in your fan base.
And we were promised big, bold numbers and letters this year. I think New York got the big, bold letters. I think both New Yorks got the big, bold letters from the Rangers, big, bold numbers from the Islanders. So there we go.
They got
promise,
the memos.
Promise made, promise kept.
Yep, they got the memo.
All right. Well, we will be interested to see those as we get into the Stadium Series here in February. Those will be some fun games to watch. I still like the outdoor games. I know some people complain that they're getting to be too regular. I still like them. I think they're interesting enough still. All right. So we've talked Edmonton on an amazing win streak. We've talked Stadium Series jerseys, and the unhappy news of, you know, players going on leave. I still want to keep things a little bit light because in a couple of weeks, we are going to be coming into the NHL All-Star Weekend. And I think one thing that the NHL is doing a great job of this season is incorporating the newest hockey league, the PWHL, into the All-Star Weekend. We're going to have players. We've seen it in the past. We've had women players come on and compete in the skills competition, which has been fun to watch. Now we're going to get a PWHL exhibition game. It's going to be a 20-minute game, 3-on-3. But the rosters are... So we have two teams who are going to be competing in the All-Star Weekend in the PWHL 3-on-3 showcase. Team King and Team Kloss. Both named for the two big names on the PWHL advisory board, Ilana Kloss and Billie Jean King. I think you've probably heard of that second name. They're both professional tennis players and coach, respectively, and just huge into equity for women's sports. So awesome that they are naming the two teams after these
pioneers of women's sports. Some of the players we're going to be seeing on Team King, Kendall Coyne Schofield, you've probably heard of her. Hillary Knight, also a familiar name. Let's see, Alina Mueller, Kelly Panic, Marie-Philippe Poulin, or Poulet, sorry. That one, Poulet. Blair Turnbull, Savannah Harmon, Megan Keller, Ella Shelton, Lee Steckelin. I hope I got that right. I apologize if I don't. And Renee Debien and Erin Frankel are all on Team King, who will be competing against Team Kloss, Alex Carpenter, Emily Clark, Taylor Hesse, Brian Jenner, Sarah Nurse, Abby Rock, Laura Stacy, Aaron Ambrose, Jacqueline LaRocque, Nicole Hensey, and Emerence Mashmeyer. So I apologize if I butchered any of those names. I just want to make sure we got the full roster listed here, because this is a big event. This is the first time we're going to see professional women's hockey being played during the All-Star game. And if you can't tell by the tone of my voice, I am extremely excited about this. I am so stoked to be able to see the PWHL put out their finest players. Also, by the way, this roster combined 146 Olympic medals, 46 world championship medals, and 17 NCAA Division I championships combined between all the players. That is an all-star team. Those are two great all-star teams that we're going to be able to watch
on Thursday, February 1st at Scotiabank. So
mark it on your calendars. Check it out.
It is going to be a good time. I know I'm marking that.
And I just wanted to express my excitement for this. Speaking of the All-Star Weekend, Lou.
Yes.
Anything about this year's All-Star Game, All-Star Weekend? Are you excited about it?
I have not been excited about All-Star Games since they went to 3-on-3.
Oh, okay.
I honestly, I have no interest.
Okay. Jacob, are you part of the minority here, or are you part of the majority?
I really like watching the skills competition. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just like it's a nice fun thing. We'll see. I do like watching, because it's so hard to watch them, because you have to I actually have to see if they stream it on Sportsnet. If they do, I'll take a look, but if not,
You know, to me, the All-Star Games for any sport, they're meaningless. They really are. Let's face it, what it is, it's just another event to sell more tickets, to make more money for the league.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But as far as all the leagues that do these All-Star Games, I feel like the NHL's got it right. Make an entire weekend of it. Make this big event. Put in some fun stuff for the fans. Like, just put your favorite players out there doing ridiculous skills competitions. We've seen that with the NFL starting to do that. I mean, MLB's sort of done that with the Home Run Derby, but I mean, it's one skill. Come on, throw in like catcher base running, and I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll tune in for that and watch them try and run around the bases as quickly as they can in full catcher gear. Sure, I'm in for that. I want to see the ridiculousness. I felt like the one they did in Las Vegas was fantastic when they incorporated like all the table games and everything about the strip. That was fun to watch. And I feel like the NHL's done a very good job with that part. They're still fine tuning the actual game. I do like they do the tournament. I feel like you can't do 5-on-5 when it comes to a tournament style. Maybe for the next few years, they need to go back to the 5-on-5 and just have one game, Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. Or, you know, shake it up again. North America versus the world. I would like to see that again. That would be fun. But yeah, I mean, the 3-on-3, as fun as it is, as fast-paced as it is, and like the tournament style, I like that. But it's starting to get a little stale. I agree, Lou. I'll still watch it. But it is, let's shake things up. Let's bring back North America versus the world.
And while you're at it, bring back really cool uniforms, really cool sweaters. I really did enjoy the the standard format that had been used for forever. I just you know, I just liked that. And it was not basically a non-contact sport. You still had everything going on. And it went to 3-on-3, and it just... It took the fun out of it for me. It really did. And I know I'm in the minority. I get it. This is not ever going to change. It is going to be 3-on-3, but I have zero interest. And I think the other thing to think about here is that we had no requests from anyone on staff to go cover the All-Star game this year.
Oh, if I would know nobody would have was volunteering, I mean, sure, I'll go to Toronto. Why not?
All you have to do is ask.
I thought we. Oh man! Okay.
No,
but do you really want to go to Toronto?
I
love Toronto.
The Hockey Hall of Fame is there. I would love to go see that. I've, full confession, I've never been to Canada.
You know, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yes.
What?
As a I am in the Hall of Fame as a contributing author to a series of annual books that have been produced by a good friend of mine and the guy who really got me started in all of this, Tom Schettino, called The Ice Pages. And The Ice Pages are cataloged by the Hall of Fame Library, and I am in the Hall of Fame.
Well, oh my, that's insane.
I am a Hall of Famer.
I need to go. I finally need to go, and I need to find you in that hall.
Yes,
I'll go find check where out they the have book. That. Yeah, I'll go check it out. I need a picture. I need to see it now. All right.
I also have to see this.
Yeah, and the last one.
That's really neat.
Yeah, the last one I did. The last time I contributed to the Ice Pages when it was a hard copy, I had done an interview with Gary Unger.
Huh.
For it, and had just an amazing time with Gary Unger doing that interview. He gave me almost an hour on the phone, and I could not have been more appreciative of his time. But yes, I'm a Hall of Famer.
So. Oh, wow. Did they give you a jacket to go with that?
No, just
all right.
You know, well, I you know,
it's just it's the library.
Beyond the you know, the crowd sourcing we need to do to get you know, Lonnie his Broncos jersey, because eventually he's going to be the next quarterback of the Denver Broncos. If you haven't caught that, we need to crowdfund and get Lou a Hall of Fame jacket, because he is a Hall of Famer, and I'm going to have to store that away for future podcasts to bring up every now and then.
All right. I mean, I guess the last thing we really have on here, I don't know.
Do we want to devote much time to the Utah Jazz owner expressing interest in an expansion team, or do we want to save that for a later podcast?
Well, if it has legs, we can save it for later.
We could rip on that for a while. I'm sorry, we can cover that for a while on a different podcast. So I think now is the perfect time, and we're going to be, I'll be cutting this up a little bit, you know, cutting it, shaving it, just like our friends at Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com/prohockeynews and save 20% off your purchase. You know, shave whatever needs to be taken off, just like I do when I edit these podcasts. All right. It is that time for our PHN picks of the week. Jacob.
We had already talked. You had put some picks in here. One of them is not going to be Edmonton. Take us through. What do we got?
Okay, so our first game is the Montreal Canadiens at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Richard, I'm going to start with you.
Canadiens at the Penguins, huh?
Yes.
Oh, and you sure you don't want to put the Oilers in there?
The thought process behind this is I choose teams who have the most similar records,
right,
playing against each other.
Right.
I have even less faith in the Canadiens than I do on a typical year, which is none. So I'm going to go with the Penguins.
Okay. And Lou.
I am taking the Canadiens. I do have a little bit of faith in them that they're younger. And that's empirical evidence for that. Richard. Jacob, what are you taking?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh here. Montreal's without Brendan Gallagher for five games after a suspension for a really dirty hit. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be the difference. And our next game, the New Jersey Devils at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lou, I'll start with you this time.
I'm trying to get rid of my window here. I am going to take the Lightning. They are, to me, they're not heating up as much as they're just playing a much more solid game than they were probably about a month ago.
Okay. And Richard.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Tampa's playing much better. And I hate to go against a hot team, so I won't. I'll take Tampa as well.
Okay. And I will make it unanimous with Tampa Bay. Next game is Battle of Canada, Hockey Night in Canada, Toronto at Winnipeg. Richard.
All right. What do you got? Let's see. Toronto 13-5-6 on the road. Winnipeg 16-6-2 at home.
I take Winnipeg on that one.
Okay. And Lou?
You want to talk about no faith. I will take the Jets.
You have no faith in the Leafs?
None at all.
Usually that starts sinking in with me at about playoff time.
You know, I think I should have picked different games, but I'll go with Winnipeg. They just lost their streak barely with an empty net goal of allowing three goals or less in all their games. And Toronto is struggling right now. So we'll see how that goes. Arizona versus Carolina, Lou.
Wow. Who do I want to win versus who do I think will win? Where is this game?
Carolina.
In Carolina. You know what? On a hunch, I'm going to take the Coyotes.
Okay. Lou? Or sorry, Richard.
As much as I would love to see the Coyotes pull out a win on the road, those have come few and far between for the Arizona Coyotes. They are 8-12-3 on the road. They're not so good away from the mullet, so I'm going to have to go with a bunch of jerks.
Okay. I'm going to go with Carolina as well. They're starting to claw back. They're starting to play a lot better since the start of the season. Their defense was abysmal at the start of the year. Getting it together. And our last one, Boston at Philly. Wait, why did I put this in?
Yeah, why did you put that one in?
Okay, so we're going to do Edmonton at Nashville.
Oh, man, that's brutal. That's brutal, Jacob.
I mean, it's going to be a unanimous pick. Would anyone have picked the Flyers?
I wouldn't.
Lou, would you have picked?
No, they've lost four in a row.
Yeah, so Edmonton, Nashville. Will the 15-game winning streak continue to 16?
Well, who's gonna pick against the Oilers?
Me.
Are you?
Yeah.
Hey, every good streak has to come to an end. Somebody's putting an end to that one.
Richard wanted this game in here for a reason, and this was it. Richard, you're picking Nashville then?
Sure, I'll take Nashville in this one.
Okay.
Seriously, you can't win forever. You're eventually going to lose a game. I feel like this is a game they could lose.
Nope, the Edmonton Oilers are never going to lose again.
Until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs, yes, of course.
First round.
Yeah.
Don't joke about that. We're going to be the new Tampa Bay Lightning.
Wow.
Get swept in the first round by some random team.
I don't know. You've put a seed of doubt in my head, Richard.
So wait, where is this game taking place?
Nashville.
In Nashville.
Okay, Nashville's pretty good at home. I guess, never mind. I was looking at the road record. Yeah, 13-12-0 at home. And
Soros is going to have to play above his pay grade. Oh, what the heck? I'll take Nashville.
Okay. And I guess I'm the only person taking it.
I was going to say, Jacob, did I sway you?
No, you didn't.
I didn't think I would.
Absolutely didn't. And now for our PWHL games. We got the Ottawa Ottawas versus the Montreal Montreals. Leo, I'll start with you.
Let me flip a puck here. I'll take Ottawa.
Okay. Richard.
Let's see here. Ottawa at Montreal. Let's see. Montreal's at the top of the standings right now. Sitting at a 3-1-0-1-1 record. 0-1 record. I'll stick with Montreal. Why not?
Okay, I will also go with the Montreals. And for the next game, we got the Minnesota, wherever they are playing in, actually, whatever city, Minneapolis, I think, versus the Boston, you bad team. Richard, starting with you.
Well, Boston started off a little cool, but Minnesota, man, they got a heck of a team this year. As much as it pains me to do it, I'm going to take Minnesota. Sorry, Boston.
Yes. Lou?
I'll take Minnesota, eh?
Thank you. Yep. And I'm going to make this one unanimous because I really don't like the city of Boston.
What did it ever do to you?
A lot. A lot. And that's it for the picks of the week. If you'd like to follow along on Twitter or X, use the hashtag PHNPicks and follow our podcast account at PHN_podcast.
All right. Parting thoughts. Lou, what's on your mind?
So my opening comment was about hiring, just trying to find a good editor and a couple of writers. If anyone out there listening is interested in learning how to write about hockey, how to edit, how to put together a good column about anything that's on your mind about hockey, just drop us a note on our Twitter accounts. But before I move over to you, Rich, Jacob, can you see, how does that show up there?
That shows up pretty good. I can't make out the last name, though.
Phil Esposito.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's not Phil Gatto.
Yeah, that's Phil Esposito. I found this puck. He signed it way back about 2008, 2007. So I just thought I'd pull it out today and from one Hall of Famer to another.
One of you has slightly more goals in the NHL than the other.
I got more letters after my name.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
All right. And, you know, speaking of things to hold up to the camera, I was trying to find my AP style guide when you were talking about learning how to edit and write, but it's somewhere amongst the mess in my office. Jacob, what is on your mind this week?
Funny enough about the AP style guide, the CP, Canadian Press style guide, right behind me. But what is on my mind? Weather is starting to get a bit more reasonable up here in Canada. Things are getting better, getting nice out here. There's finally snow. I can actually go play hockey. Been a weird year so far. Actually, been a weird winter in general up here, I guess around the world, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it for me. Good to be back.
If you get out playing some hockey, you need to share some pictures on your social media pages so we can take a look and, you know, maybe poke fun. Who knows? We'll see.
Oh, boy.
Right. Listeners, this week, I do apologize. I do seem a little bit more congested. I'm still trying to get over this cold, whatever it was that went through our house. So I do apologize for the sound of my voice,
But we are all here in this house getting much better. It's probably the best I've felt in about a month and a half. So things are looking up there. But yeah, no, just my parting thought is, you know, I can't express enough how excited and genuinely like full of just glee that I am that we're going to be seeing the PWHL take on 3-on-3 20-minute game during the All-Star weekend. I'm extremely excited about it. I do have this marked my calendar, and I will be just following it as the best I can. So, again, if you can check it out, check it out. It's going to be a good time. So, for Lou Lafredo out there in Albuquerque, Jacob Doherty up in Edmonton, thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped, My Custom Sports Chair, LDE Affinity Jewelry, and the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, and thank you, listeners, for making us a part of your routine. Everybody, I will see you on the first line next week.